This call is being recorded.
Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope that you are doing well for this Thursday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, and a podcast I've been looking forward to being able to record in a while with positive news when it comes to the Grizzlies. Good indications from last night's media sessions, practices, all those different things that the Grizzlies should finally be able to resume their season this Saturday. And there's no better way for me to be able to enjoy that than by welcoming back to the show one of my favorite people to talk with when we're on this show. Of course, you know him as associate editor over at Grizzly Bear Blues, co-host of GBB Live, co-host of the Core 4 podcast, co-host of the Hoops Island podcast, president of Dylan Brooks Island, president of Grayson Allen Island, former president of Chandler Parsons Island, and of course, again, one of my favorite guests on this show, Parker Fleming. Man, you got a lot of names coming around when it comes to Grizzlies fandom, Parker.
Man, I swear, some are high honors. You know, I'm very blessed to be doing what I do for GBB. I know one of my islands kind of withered away and died, and I'm not talking about Dylan Brooks Island. I know some of you other guys on GBB may make that joke immediately after, but yeah, I like running some islands, and you know, this is my third podcast since 5 o'clock, so I'm just ready to do this. Got my hat flipped backwards. I'm ready to roll.
Hey man, when you give as great a content as you do on a consistent basis, you know, that's why you're a popular man. But I got to ask this real quickly, Parker, and I'll keep it short and sweet because I never have gotten this story. Now, when it came to your game or the game that you play right now, I don't know if it's Church League or you play pickup or whatever, but of course, Paka Flocka, now Waka Flocka fame, says going hard in the paint. Now, is that your game? Do you mimic the Grizzlies getting into the lane with your offensive game when it comes to when you play basketball? Is that where this comes from?
So actually, Paka Flocka, it did come from a basketball coach of mine, Coach Wilkes over at FACS in Cordova. When I was in middle school, I believe he was a high school basketball coach, and I went on to play junior varsity for them in ninth grade before transferring schools my 10th grade year. But he had called me Paka Flocka one day, and it started catching on within everyone else in my class, and they called me Paka Flocka. So that's kind of where it stuck on. In my playing days, I was more of a perimeter player as far as a three-point shooter. I could put the ball on the ground and make a dime here and there. I was also an inbounder. So, but as I've grown into more of this, Church League rec ball mode, I kind of just do everything. If I need to run point, I will. I really like being the small ball forward, though. Let me be like the third or fourth biggest guy on the team. Let me play off the wings in the corners, and let me just shoot threes and find all my homies for easy baskets, either from the three-point line or from close to the basket, because I don't believe in mid-range jumpers.
Sounds a bit of John Contreras of you, and I hate that every time I talk with you, especially Brandon Abraham, I'm just kidding, but I hate that every time I talk to y'all, I feel my age. You're sitting here talking about you get nicknamed Paka Flocka when I can remember a decade ago, I was starting the second job of my adult career and that song came out. So we're not going to focus on that anymore. But joking aside, one of the reasons why I love bringing Parker on is because he's one of the best people that I know who I just like to sit down and talk Grizzlies basketball with. And that's what we'll get into real quick, Parker. So, you know, me and you were both just on the media sessions where the Grizzlies, you know, had, you know, the first interactions that they've had with the media. It seems like things are going as well as, you know, they're letting us know as well as anticipated. I mean, we've got encouraging news when it comes to, you know, hopefully the season getting back going this weekend with back-to-back games in San Antonio. Just your overall thoughts on, you know, this development of COVID and, you know, how do you think the Grizzlies are going to be able to come back, you know, after being off for what will probably amount to 12 days?
I mean, you know, I've said it to plenty of people, and I'll say it again on this show. There's no handbook to running a season in a pandemic. And we're seeing that as, you know, the league is adjusting on the fly, and rightfully so, to all the different rules and regulations that need to be taking place. And, You know, January was a really tough time with COVID, you know, with the holidays and typical flu season as well. I'm not comparing the two, but it's a time where a lot of people do get sick and COVID's out there, and you know, it's easy to spread. And the adjustment period for the Grizzlies, I think it should be expected because they haven't played basketball in 12 days. And I mean, the San Antonio Spurs are playing tonight against Boston. So obviously they've had more games between Monday's MLK game and then Saturday. So it's going to be in a little bit of adjustment period, but from what I gathered and what you gathered from tonight's media session, it sounds like the team's been prepared. They're still locked in. They still have great energy and chemistry. And, you know, I think there is a possibility that they come out there on Saturday against the Spurs, and it looks like they're not missing a beat.
And we certainly hope that's the case, you know, because it's going to be, you know, a pretty, you know, not necessarily rough ride, but it's going to be, I think, critical, you know, start to the remaining schedule or the start back to the schedule. You got the Pacers, but beyond that, two with the Spurs, one with the Rockets, one with the Pelicans. So four out of the five games are division games. So certainly it is going to be exciting to see. But of course, you know, what also is going to be exciting to see is, you know, John Morant, hopefully an extra, you know, almost 2 weeks of recovery for his ankle. Hopefully he'll get back to what we saw in the first two plus games of the season. You know, Parker, they came out and they talked about all-star voting that was coming out. Now, I know the Western Conference is just loaded with backcourt options. Some, though, are struggling. Besides Jaw's absence, I feel like with their steal, especially if he returns to the form that he showed to start the season, I still think Jaw has plenty of time to really, you know, set himself up in the minds of many fans across the league. I don't think it's out of the question to where we could see an all-star opportunity for him. Maybe not starting, but to the point to where he could be considered as part of the team when it's announced.
Absolutely, for sure. I'm going to use this time to make sure y'all start voting for Ja Morant for the All-Star game starting tomorrow, or as this podcast goes live, it'll be today at noon Eastern, I think is when it starts. Noon Eastern, noon Central, I'm not too sure. But Shams Charania of The Athletic announced it today about the All-Star voting, so make sure you're voting Big 12 in the All-Star game. It's going to be very, very interesting seeing where Ja's going to end up when it comes to all-star consideration. And I'm just looking down the Western Conference right now. And, I mean, Utah could easily have three all-stars between them with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. I mean, Mike Conley's been balled out. And, I mean, he's 33, 34. If he keeps this up, I don't see how he's not on the All-Star team, at least on a coach's selection. And then with the Clippers, they have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. The Lakers, it's not going to be much of a debate because those guys are going to be starting anyways, LeBron and AD. Jamal Murray is kind of fizzled out, so that's kind of a spot that Ja can go take. And CJ McCollum got hurt. So with Portland, all you got to really worry about is Dame. Steph with the Warriors. Shai Gilgeous with Oklahoma City's competition, as well as Luka with Dallas. But I don't know where Luka's going to get put in with front court or back court. Obviously, New Orleans with Zion and Ingram, they're going to get consideration. It's possible that Ja can get in. I really hope he does. It would just kind of speak volumes to the talent that he has. And he's arguably the most talented Grizzly player we've ever seen, if we're being completely honest, but also it's a testament to the successes that this team has seen thus far this season, in this early season, and the position that Coach Taylor Jenkins and GM Zach Kleiman have put him in. And, you know, I don't think any of us would have thought this if you told us summer 2019, you know, like July or August, being like, oh, hey, the Memphis Grizzlies will be in the thick of the playoff race in the year two of the rebuild, and John Morant is going to be in the all-star discussion both year one and year two. I don't know how many people would have been like, oh yeah, you're right.
I completely agree. I would have probably looked at you like, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but let's certainly, you know, halt the brakes a bit. Well, you know, I'm going to just come out right out and ask this, you know, kind of changing course a little bit, because this is a question that I've asked some folks over at the Locked On Podcast Network, some other folks that I've talked with on occasion. So, you know that we've had the golden age of point guards, Parker, you know, with the Chris Pauls and, you know, the Derrick Roses before he got injured and, you know, other players that are in that, the Steph Currys, Damian Lillard's, Russell Westbrook's, all those players. But you're now thankfully starting to see the next wave, the next generation coming through. So I'm going to put you on the spot and answer to the best of your ability. I'll give you 6 point guards: LaMelo Jatre, SGA, Colin Sexton, and De'Aaron Fox. How do you rank those 6 going forward as to who you would want as the point guard of your future?
Sure. All right. So I'm not going – actually, I am. It's a blend of talent but also impact on winning. So I have Ja, number one. For one, I think he's the most talented on the board, and he's the one that's impacted winning the most as a go-to guy. I know SGA has been on a part of playoff teams, pretty good playoff teams actually, but he's always been like a complimentary guy, never the go-to guy. So I just think Ja's going to be a special player that out of the 6 players, I think he has the most legitimate MVP upside. So I want to go Ja 1, SGA 2. Just I think his blend of size, skill, and versatility is just very unique for a point guard. And Sean, I'm going to ask you this. If this is a good comp, is it kind of like the Jaren Jackson Jr. of guards, in that he's somebody who you can recognize how high his upside is, and he's already good now, but you just don't even know how high that upside even is?
I think that's a wonderful comparison. That is an absolutely astute comparison. I would agree with that all day.
Awesome, great. And so I'm going to have Trey at 4 or 3, just because no matter what, he's going to be an incredible player. He's kind of a blend of Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, and Steve Nash. He has the range and has the range of Dame and Steph, but I think he, as far as off ball movement and stuff goes, he profiles more as like a Dame than a Steph, but his passing wizardry is like in the same ballpark as Steve Nash. I'm going to go LaMelo 4. Just because I think his size, I mean, he's 6'8", and he passes. He's already like a top 5 passer. His passing creativity is off the charts, and I only think he's going to get better in terms of finding his shooting spots and working on a shot as well. I'm going to go Sexton at 5. A huge Colin Sexton fan. Actually, I call him the team captain of one of my fantasy teams. And I think he's going to be an unbelievable scorer. I just want to see what's going to happen in, you know, playoff winning time and seeing like what's going to happen when he's continuing to be the focal point of playoff defenses and if that side's going to hinder him. But also, too, I want to see how Cleveland's going to build around him. I think it's very possible that he can be higher than LaMelo on this, or maybe even higher than Trey on this, just because he is a tenacious player. He reminds me a lot of like a Kyle Lowry in that way. So I like Sexton at 5, and I have Fox at 6. I think Fox is talented as all get out. I'm a really big fan of Fox, but I just kind of want to see, I want to put an asterisk and just see like, okay, is he going to get out of Sacramento? Because Sacramento, man, they've been losing since I was in elementary school. They've been losing since I was like 3rd, 4th grade. They haven't made the playoffs since then. And with a bottom tier defense and a middling offense and a mediocre coach, I don't know if Fox will ever experience that kind of success with Sacramento, especially given kind of the hierarchy and the climate of the Western Conference right now and in the short distance future.
So me and you are on track. One switch on my end. You know, I've said I would go Ja. I would go Trey. I believe in Trey's scoring ability, and I just think that his consistent scoring ability is certainly there. SGA would be 3. I'll go LaMelo 4 because I think that Sexton and Fox may have higher ceiling scoring. I think that LaMelo has more offensive value in terms of what he can do to elevate the offense as a whole. Sexton 5, I believe in his shooting potential, and I think that he can make, you know, impact plays on defense at times. And Fox, I just don't, the refinement is not there, though. I think he's a great talent. His speed is unbelievable, but I do think that he's 6 on this list. But the great thing is that you can offer 10 or 11 different perspectives on this, you know, rankings of these 6 and come up with 10 or 11 different setups. So I agree with you completely. But speaking of rankings, one thing that we know about this Grizzlies defense is that they certainly have been ranking quite high when they were playing. How sustainable is that? You know, how good can the offense be once the starters are back? I'll go over that with Parker when we return here in a second. The new year is here, and obviously that means that we are still right in the midst of winter, and that typically means that you're probably not using your car as much as you usually would during other times of the year, which could put the potential there for, once you get going again, car repairs to be needed. Now, I'm not someone that can tell you how to repair your car, but I can tell you where to go to get the car parts that you need, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a great source for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's very easy to use for you, you know, with a few clicks of the button, and it's likely going to have the parts that you need when you need them, and no matter the make and model of the car that you have. Whether you're someone who does their own repairs, you do repairs for others, or you need someone to do your repairs, rockauto.com is also a great source because they're very cost-effective. This is a family-owned business. They've been in business for over 20 years. They know that car parts that need to be repaired typically fall out of budget, so they try to be economically feasible as possible. When you go to rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. We're covering everything you need to know about the Grizzlies, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Burkowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts.
Jaw out for 8 games. We haven't seen Jaren or Justice. Jonas has struggled, and now also, obviously, though he hasn't missed many games, his availability has been up in the air for the past, you know, 3 weeks, you know, almost. But this team has emerged with the identity of being, you know, a very tenacious defense, especially when it comes to the perimeter. When you look at Taylor Jenkins, we have struggled on offense, and we'll get into in a second. That has been a bit concerning. But has this time frame told you more about Taylor Jenkins than what you previously knew about him? Have you started to gain an idea of where he truly adds value as a coach for this roster?
Honestly, it's not that he's shown more than what I thought. He's actually just kind of validated what I've always thought about him. Last year, I thought, okay, this is a very good young coach, a good basketball mind. You can very much tell that he's part of the Popovich tree, with the way he's been able to integrate a system, but not only just that, but the way he's been able to maximize talent. I mean, you go across the board, De'Anthony Melton, Brandon Clark, even John Moran maximizing him as a rookie, Jaren Jackson Jr. stretching the limitations and the boundaries of what he could be as a basketball player. I mean, he about doubled his three-point volume from his rookie season to his sophomore season. Grayson Allen, and, you know, making way with anybody 1 through 17 on their roster, no matter what injuries hit. I mean, we saw very productive minutes from Gorgui Dieng and John Conchar. And, you know, those are, like, because of the position that Coach Jenkins put them in. I mean, it's very okay and passable to be like, oh, where does John Conchar, where does Gorgui Dieng fit in the rotation? Because when Coach Jenkins put them in, he put them in positions to succeed. So, I mean, I think it's sustainable, and I think that's just credit to Coach Jenkins, but also the leadership of its lead guards, John Morant and Tyus Jones as well.
And I agree. You know, it's development and defense, and you've seen that development. The reason why the Grizzlies' defense has been so good is because of the individual improvements of several players. Tyus, you know, Jonas protecting the rim, Dylan Brooks obviously limiting fouls and creating disruption. So I guess the specific question that I have, Parker, is this: you know, top five defensive rating when they stop playing. You know, do I think they're going to play like that going forward? I don't necessarily know if that's going to be the case. I do think that they potentially could be a top 10 team in terms of defensive rating and in terms of points allowed per game. But I think the way that it's going to be set up is that as they get their stars back, one, the strength of their depth is going to be their defense, especially in the second unit. And I think what it does overall is it creates a significantly higher floor for us this year against better competition than we had last year. Do you think this overall defensive impact is sustainable to the point, the reason why we're clearly in the playoffs, at least discussion, for most of, if not all, the rest of the season?
It's tough, because, I mean, you know, if you were asking if it's sustainable to maintain like an above average defense of like top 12 or so, I would say yeah. But top five is just very hard to answer because that's just a very elite company to be in. I think there's potential because look at the two guys that you're adding. You're adding Justice Winslow and you're adding Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, Justice Winslow can defend all over the floor. He uses a physical body and great physical tools to pester opponents. I remember when the Miami Heat did that experiment where they were running Justice Winslow at point. He was making life a living hell for Mike Conley, and he couldn't do anything. And then also, too, you have Jaren Jackson Jr., where if he's not fouling, he can be one of the most disruptive big men defenders in the league, not just in the paint, but as a guy that can switch out of the pick and roll and defend in space and guard perimeter players when needed. So, I mean, I think it's sustainable. It's just very hard to tell just based off of where the Grizzlies are at right now, because top five, that's elite. That's an elite measure to sustain. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that too. Like, do you think it's sustainable going forward?
Like I say, I think that we're probably, you know, borderline top 10. I wouldn't put us as a top five defense right now, because I think when we play stretches where we're going to play clear playoff teams, you know, while we have had quote unquote the second toughest schedule so far, we've also played a lot of these teams without their best offensive talents. And I'm not taking anything away from us, especially with the injuries that we've had, but I think that does add relevance to, you know, the overall talent that we faced. So I think we could finish around number 10, you know, overall, when you look at across the board at defense. I do think that, you know, the question is, will this defense clearly be the more consistent strength of our team? I feel that's the case. And then when you get Jaren back and Ja going full strength, combined with that duo on offense, it certainly is a nice combination that makes us more of a playoff, you know, threat than many may have thought, you know, at the first of the year. But you've got to be able to support that with shooting. And that is one thing that has kind of regressed a bit this year, you know, seeing Dylan Brooks and Tyus Jones, especially, you know, kind of struggle from three. Grayson Allen has found his form, but defenses were also starting to adjust to Desmond Bane, trying not to get him as many open looks. You know, how much of a concern is that for you? I mean, I think that our good friend Keith Parrish over at Fast Break Breakfast, he mentioned that during the 5-game winning streak, we actually averaged over that stretch the lowest amount of 3-point shots made per game. It just doesn't seem sustainable. You know, how big of a concern is our struggle shooting from distance for you, even if the starters do come back, or is that the answer to it?
I think the answer is going to be players coming back, not even just with the caliber of players coming back. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is probably behind Anthony Towns in terms of being the best 3-point shooting big man in the league. But it's also going to come with role adjustment and, I guess, defensive gravity, like how much attention is going to be generated towards that player versus when Jaren and Justice are back. And I'm going to just start right now with Dylan Brooks on the floor right now. But I think there is a strong case to be made that Dylan Brooks is the second option, not that he's the second best player. I think without Jaren and Justice, I think Brandon Clark is the second best player. But Dylan Brooks, because of his game and his ability to score at three levels, that kind of puts him in a position to be the second scorer alongside Ja Morant. And I do think that once the pecking order is more established and he's back down to like that third, maybe fourth, depending on Jonas Valanciunas getting his rhythm back or Justice Winslow being what we thought he was, then I think you should see a little bit of an uptick in Dylan Brooks' play and his percentages. as well as Brandon Clark going from having to play against starters to getting to feast on second units. And as much as I really want him to start, as I highlighted on Good Severe Blues earlier this week, I think it'll be an area where we'll see his percentages take a little uptick. And I mean, I don't think it's much to be concerned about right now. I think a lot of the percentages are skewed because, like I said, a lot of these players had to play with so much more defensive attention because of the players that were out. So I think he'll be fine. I also like to trend towards the positive. I don't think that Dylan Brooks is a guy that's going to shoot 36% forever, or that Brandon Clark is going to shoot 47% forever. So that's just kind of where I am. As long as there's an eye test validation of their play and that they're actually playing good basketball, you know, with Dylan Brooks, I think it's his defense and his playmaking. You know, if he's making an impact in those two areas, that signs of growth right there. And with Brandon Clark, his raw numbers are better than they were last year. So even with a percentage drop, almost like 15%, you're still seeing him put up almost similar production, maybe even a little more than he did last season. So it makes me want to think, okay, what's going to happen if, you know, he raises that field goal percentage up from 47 to 52? And I think people forget that was a very historic mark that he hit. Like, that's a very tough percentage to follow up.
And I agree. You know, that it's nice to know that, yes, it's nice to know that there's a simple reason that is legitimate to pinpoint why some of these players have taken a bit of a step back. It's because they've taken a bit of a step up in roles that may be a bit over what their true value is, you know. And as you know, players like Justice Jonas and Jaren return, you know, these players getting back into their more comfortable roles, especially off the bench, that should certainly help their percentages. But, you know, so that's the one thing, though, that Memphis does have in its favor compared to other playoff teams is the amount of talent that it has returning. I'm going to talk with Parker about that, but with an interesting development that's happened while we're doing their podcast, I'm going to throw another wrench into the plans where maybe it's not so much internal additions that we can discuss. We'll be right back with you here at Locked On Grizzlies. Well, it may be hard to believe there is only one game left in the pro football, in the NFL football season, but thankfully it's arguably, if not the best sports day of the year and one of the best betting days on the calendar of any year, and that is Super Bowl Sunday, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And while you may be sad that there's only one game of football left, it's great that it is the Super Bowl. But beyond that, so many other sports are going on this past weekend with the great UFC event. You've got basketball, you've got hockey, baseball's on the horizon. Whatever sport you enjoy or athletes you enjoy watching, you may like to add a little bit more fun to it by wagering and betting. And if that's the case, I've got a great idea for you to go to, for you to be able to profit. And that is BetOnline.ag. There is only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust when it comes to your wagers, and that's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. Throughout the 2020 calendar year, you heard me talking about a great product that, if added to your day, would be a good health boost that we all desire, and that is Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's a very versatile treat, one that you can have for breakfast in the morning, you can have in the afternoon as a snack, before or after a workout, however you choose to enjoy it. The great thing about Built Bar is if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can actually choose from 18 different flavors with one likely to meet your taste buds that you would enjoy. And you also can go to BuiltBar.com and put in the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. But I can tell you this for a fact, if you make it a part of your day, it's going to be there to stay. Go to BuiltBar.com to get 20% off your next order by using the promo code LOCKEDON. So Parker, as astute as you are when it comes to the social media game, I think that you may have noticed this as well, but Kamaya Adams-Beal, the wife of NBA star Bradley Beal, has come out and said she's sick of it. That was the tweet. She's sick of it. And, you know, 24 hours ago, we saw obviously the video that have occurred that you know, it just seemed like that Bill was breaking, like he just it finally had gotten to him. Such a loyal player, it seems like such a good guy, but it's like the public is demanding, if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it for you. You need to go. I don't think in any realm of possibility, especially with how little we've been able to see this team in its true form with everybody healthy play, that a trade happens. But if the Grizzlies continue to win, maybe it's not Bill, maybe it's a LaVine. Do you feel that there's a trade out there that where they could be buyers? Or do you feel that it makes sense for them kind of to stand pat and just, you know, let this year play out as it is with the roster that they have? Do the plans change at all if they keep winning?
I mean, sure. Why not? You know, if you have a chance to go get a guy like Bradley Beal, and you're looking at this Western Conference right now, there's four probably clear-cut teams. There's the two LA teams, the Utah Jazz, and then the Denver Nuggets, right? And, you know, let's say they keep this going. The Grizzlies are trending around like 5 or around 6 or 7. And think, they're doing this without Jaren Jackson Jr. And, you know, you're like, okay, you know, we could potentially be up there with Utah and Denver if we go out and get Bradley Beal. All it's going to cost is Brandon Clark, Dylan Brooks, Jonas Valanciunas, and 3 first-round picks. And 2 of those picks aren't even ours. Let's do it. Great. But I also think that the price for Bradley Beal, I think it's going to be that package I just said. But I think you're also going to have to put in 2 or 3 pick swaps in there. Because remember, Drew Holiday cost Milwaukee 5 draft assets and 2 starting caliber players. And Bradley Beal's a better player than Drew Holiday, probably by a good tier or two. So I think what people need to realize, you know, when we're seeing these Beal-to-Beal hashtags trending, is remember how much it's going to cost and where the Grizzlies are in their rebuild. So that, I mean, if the opportunity presents itself and Bradley Beal's in Memphis, I'm not going to be pissed off at all, even if it's that trade package, you know, where you're giving up Clark and Brooks and Valanciunas, 3 first-round picks and 2 or 3 pick swaps. I will welcome Bradley Beal with open arms. I will probably go to the Grizzlies' Den store the next day and buy a Bradley Beal jersey. But I do just want to keep in mind that there will be a big opportunity cost with that. But I do think there's a way they could be buyers. And Sean, do you remember what Cleveland did when they got into the James Harden trade?
Yes, when I saw you mention this earlier, I thought it was genius. That's why I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I think I know where you're going, and it would be right in line with what this front office does so well.
For sure. And what I'm talking about here is Cleveland swooped into the James Harden blockbuster trade to help give Houston another draft pick. And they got to get Jared Allen as a result. And it wasn't even their own first-round pick. It was like a Milwaukee first-round pick for next season. So that's still going to be like a pick in the 20s to 30s. So, I mean, obviously, I don't think you're going to get a better player than Jared Allen. Probably not in that range. So I think Memphis is in a spot where they can do the same. And, you know, I've thrown out, obviously, I've been the captain of the Memphis runs on Duncan Robinson campaign, where Miami's depleted of draft assets. So, you know, could you give them that Utah pick and go and get Duncan Robinson? Or could you add another pick into that and bring in Tyler Hero? I mean, some other names I'd like to kind of float out there. You know, I think Atlanta would be a nice spot because they have some young guys that are worth that Utah first round pick, whether it's a Kevin Herter or a Cam Reddish or a DeAndre Hunter. Another one I really like is potentially maybe trying to get the combination, or not combination, but both of Bol Bol and RJ Hampton from Denver, maybe, and try to give off Grayson Allen and like a heavy protected first round pick, because if Denver's going to keep using those guys in garbage time and playing a 29-year-old 5'10 rookie over Hampton, then I would like to go save him, to be honest. But I think that's where the Grizzlies could be buyers more than anything, is to really take advantage of a team that's thirsty for a superstar to add to its core, but not having the draft capital to do so, because the Grizzlies have that draft capital. And, you know, acquiring young talent like that, like that's the kind of the name of the game for the Grizzlies right now. And I think if they do that, any of those names I just mentioned, that they could be nice complementary pieces and upside swings next to John Jaren.
I smell an article. They're over at GBB. I'm sure that you probably have alluded to that on some of your podcasts tonight, but that is a really fun, you know, scenario to think of. And you know, they're all the teams that are contenders. You could certainly see it happening. But, you know, obviously, you know, that it seems like it's still far-fetched that occurs, but, you know, it certainly can. But getting to the two players, you know, back, obviously, Jonas, we know what he fits. But looking at Jaren, so kind of give you scenarios for both Jaren and Justice here, Parker. Which way do you think it would be the more significant step forward for him in his development this year? Clear improvements in the small nuances of his game, the rebounding, the defense, and limiting the fouls, seeing some improved consistency there, or him becoming the reliable offensive all-star type level offensive talent that we saw for that three-game stretch in the bubble? What would you prefer more, and which do you think would give more hope that he's taking that next step when he's back?
I think the scoring, like by far, like if, you know, I don't care much if he's going to be a poor rebounder as a big man, if he's going to be scoring 25 a game and scoring at three levels. I mean, the Grizzlies have good community rebounders. And, you know, as I chronicled on Grizzly Bear Blues earlier this week, even when they play Jaren at the five, the rebounding numbers are pretty good because they have good positional rebounders like Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton and Brandon Clark out there with them. But also they generate a lot of turnovers because of the defensive versatility that they possess. But man, if Jaren flashes or shows that scoring repertoire that we saw in the bubble, and that's the Jaren Jackson Jr. that we're going to get when he comes back, the Grizzlies have never had anything like that. They haven't had anything like that on the wing as a big man or just a player in general. And that should draw a lot of hope because my co-host Nathan Chester likes to throw this out there all the time. He thinks that Jaren hasn't solidified himself as that second cornerstone piece yet. But, you know, if he is that guy that's averaging or scoring 25 a night like he did in the NBA bubble in those three games, he's going to establish himself not only as the second cornerstone, but possibly like the 1A, 1B with Ja.
Say this about Nathan Chester. He is absolutely loved on this show and will always be loved. You know that. We both love Nathan Chester. And I say this in complete humor. But I've never known a person who tweets out more tweets in which I just want to go give him a hug afterwards when it comes to his Grizzlies takes. Do you get that feeling, Parker? I know that hugs are frowned upon,
No, I kind of just like just kind of like throwing it off the bat board and just dunking on him, you know? I prefer doing that. Just kind of make it known, like, hey, man, don't say that. And just I'm more of that kind, you know? But that's he has a brand to uphold, per se, and he does a good job sticking to it. But, yeah.
The reactions to his takes are some of the things I look forward to, especially with the social media, you know, abilities that you and Bryce and, you know, Brandon and others have through GBB. But getting back on track here, one last thing, obviously, is Justice Winslow. And I know I haven't had the chance to listen to it yet, but I know that you earlier today were talking on GBB Live about really what role does Justice fit. And so I'll kind of offer the same scenario that I did with Jaren. For me, Parker, it's been a two-question thing when it comes to that team option. He's got to come back healthy, obviously. But to me, he's got to differentiate himself from De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, who we already have under contract. Though I think that Justice fits this team better long-term than Kyle Anderson. Say he does come back healthy, but he does struggle. He doesn't differentiate himself. You think that team option truly is in question, or are you kind of convinced with just how high this team thinks of him they're going to pick up that option. Because, you know, another way that he can be used next year potentially, which they hope they don't have to, they hope that he becomes a part of this core truly going forward. You can always use him as an expiring contract in a trade as well. But, you know, do you think that if he struggles, that seriously puts the team option in doubt for next year?
Oh, I don't think that. I think I'm more so in the party where the only way I think they're not going to opt into the team option is if he just can't play, like, at all. Like, this is kind of like, I don't want to send these vibes over there, but if it's similar to, like, the Chandler Parsons experience, then that's the only way I see them opting out of the team option. Like you said, because I can see them even opting in and just using him as an expiring contract for another trade, something along those lines. But no, I don't think the team option will come into play when it comes to his performance. I think it's more an availability kind of thing.
Agreed. And I don't want to send negative vibes as well as to where I don't think that he can come in and succeed. I want him to. I hope he does. I think the talent is there. It's just that he hasn't played in more than a year. I don't think he hasn't played in more than a year. And so you just hope that, you know, it's going to take him a little bit of time to get going, but you just hope there's, for his sake, and the Grizzlies' sake, you just hope that there's no type of, you know, relapse into an injury. And I agree with you. It's going to be availability more than anything. But it's just going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I'll ask you this just as a final quick question, Parker. I know you're having fun, but are you – when you were watching this team back at, you know, in the 17-18 season, Jaren's, first year, and then after we traded Mark, did you think that you would have this much fun again so quickly after seeing those trades occur? I didn't think I would, and I'm so thankful that I am.
Honestly, I kind of felt that pure joy. I hate to say after the Mark Gasol trade, because it wasn't Marc Gasol, the Marc Gasol trade in particular. It was the fact of the Jamichael Green and the Shelvin Mack trades, because it became very well known that I remember actually looking at this stat, because I heard us talk about it. I heard them talk about it on the Chris Vernon show. But out of any team actually trying to win basketball games, so I took this stat and basically mentally eliminated the trios from teams that were intentionally tanking. The Marc Gasol, Jamichael Green, Shelvin Mack trio was one of the worst among the entire league in net rating. And J.B. Bickerstaff continued to roll with it. And it just wasn't fun watching Grizzly games at that point, because it was like, okay, here's what's going to happen. The Grizzlies are going to take a first quarter lead. They'll hold on until till halftime. The other coach will make adjustments. The Grizzlies will blow the lead in the third quarter, and then they're going to lose the game because they can't gather momentum or adjust. It just felt so repetitive, and I literally just didn't have any fun watching Grizzlies basketball. But, you know, after those series of trades, and I'm not even going to say because of Marc Gasol. I mean, I was more happy for him that he got to go to a winning situation in Toronto. But I guess maybe there's no expectations after those trades. And, you know, it's just so much fun to get to watch Jonas Valanciunas put up a 20-10, Mike Conley playing in a faster, more free system with no expectations. And obviously Joakim Noah as well was a really fun one-year experience. But man, I tell you what, this team is so much fun to watch, because finally, I get to watch a modern system that embraces positionless basketball, versatility, pace, and space, three-point shooting, but also, man, the amount of good youth we have on the team. I know there's a lot of times, you know, that's like, oh, this team's young, but, like, there's a difference between, like, youth and good youth, and the Grizzlies have good youth. It's just the fact that I can watch a Grizzlies game, and I'm not cringing when they put in a certain player. You know what I mean? And it does make it easier when they do have a superstar caliber player like John Morant, but also too, there's a lot of guys down the list that they strike me. He's like, oh, this guy could be like an elite role player at some point. You know, the guy that he may not stick around or anything, but if he does stick around and be a great complimentary piece, or he's going to go somewhere and he's going to impact winning. And man, It's just so much fun to watch. And I never thought that he'd be in this position 2-3 years ago.
Well, and I agree completely. And the other part, fun part about it is that just the attention that they're getting and the interactions that you can have. I know that you love the Grizzlies, Parker. I know that you have a passion for doing the podcasting and the blogging. But, you know, just the interaction. Just being able to, as frequently as you can, get to talk with people that you admire, that are friends, but you get to talk about just one of the best young cores in the league for a team that you love. That's the other thing about it, and that's what I love about this gig through GBB and all that different stuff. Just there's layers to it. Not only watching the team that you cheer for, have such a bright future and have fun playing, but just getting to share it with other fans and people that cover the team and things like that. So it's a pretty good time. Hopefully that will continue. But Parker, it's been an absolute pleasure. I will ask this question. I'm going to ask obviously for you to plug anything you got going on, and then I got a challenge for you. So what do you have coming up as we go into February? I know you've got content creations going on in mind. You got anything going on as far as the podcast or GBB goes?
Ooh, that's tough. I usually don't plan that far ahead. I mean, I hope that we don't have another postponement of games. I think that would be pretty nice. I know I'm going to be hosting GBB Live next week. The guest I'm getting, I'm not too sure, but regardless, I think it's going to be one hell of a guest. And, I'm just kind of running along and seeing just looking at certain trends that are going on within the game. And, I know you've been seeing on Twitter where usually the morning after each game, I like to take one clip of a play that stood out to me. Not necessarily like a highlight reel play, but it's a good basketball IQ play. And it's like tweeting about that. Joe and I came up with the full recap form of the long view, where we take a recap of each game and kind of look into it, into the bigger perspective of things and how this plays into the fact of Zachary Kleiman's vision of long-term sustainable success. I guess that's what you can expect from me in February. It's just kind of more of what I'm doing now. And you already know that if I have something cooking that I feel like is special, that you're going to be one of the first people to know.
So you're right over at GBB. You've got now three podcasts that you're doing. I think I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction, Parker. Over the next 2 years in a calendar month, whether it be a podcast or an article or both, I think you're going to go through a full calendar month where you do one or the other or both each day of the month. That's a challenge that I have for you. So in a calendar month, each day, go ahead.
It may not even be hard. I will say I think every weekday, including Sundays, I probably work on the blog. I mean, the weekends, I try to keep open, to kind of relax, take a mental break. Unless there's a Grizzlies game. If there's a Grizzlies game, I'll watch that. I'll deal with the availabilities, any of the posts I can get. But honestly, it's a challenge that I probably think I can get, not even just by, the Michael Jordan, and I took that personally, meme. But, with my girlfriend Allie back at school, man, it gets kind of boring over here. So in Carrville, Tennessee. So I just, grind away. I watch a lot of basketball, play a lot of 2K, and just try to put out the best Christmas content I can.
Well, it's always consistently great. And you can find Parker at Paka_Flocka. All joking aside, Parker is like I say, one of the people that I'm most grateful that I've gotten to know and call a friend when it comes to Grizzlies coverage. So you can find all of his great stuff through Paka Flocka, through ESPN Grizzlies, Hoops Island, GBB Live, and the Core 4 podcast. He has the longest intro into a podcast of anybody that I've done a podcast with when it comes to the Grizzlies, but there's not, because he just does excellent work consistently. Parker, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Sean, thank you for having me. Keep up the fantastic work. I think you're doing phenomenal work with the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, with Grizzly Bear Blues, and also with Locker Room. Hey, don't ever sell yourself short. I think you're out there killing it, man.
Thank you very much. If you'll stay with us for just a second after the show, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, again, Parker at Paca underscore Flocka. All of our podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts available. But for Parker, John Coleman, we'll be back with you tomorrow to obviously preview the Spurs games. Look at some plays. Look at some specific sets and plays that the Grizzlies have found success with as we head into the weekend. But for Parker Fleming, my name is Sean Coleman. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.